It's been a fantastic journey with many ups, but also many downs, and with a sense of responsibility falling upon me with every year, and also feeling tremendous attachment to the people in the world, not only the people in terms of we the peoples in the UN Charter, but also all my great colleagues at headquarters, but also in the agencies and around the world. I have enjoyed more than anything else being out there in the field, whether it is to see refugees from Syria or peacekeepers in different parts of the world, and humanitarian workers, of course, where I also have my heart. So it's been a fantastic experience, and it will mark my life until the very end, I suppose.
So you spoke about ups and downs. So let me ask you in that vein, what would you say from your term as Deputy Secretary General have been the highlights or the biggest accomplishments which give you satisfaction?
Well, during this five-year period, I think, historically speaking, the climate change agreement, I think, is the most important one. And it's a great tribute to Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Without his personal involvement, his passion for bringing up the issues to the highest political level, I don't think we would have had the Paris Agreement. I myself was very deeply engaged in the Sustainable Development Goals that were negotiated. The process has lasted almost 4 years. And it was a joyful moment, 25th of September. It was actually the day the Pope Francis visited New York, and he gave his blessing to the SDGs, these goals. And that evening, I remember, I went to bed with a smile. I felt that we had charted the road ahead on development in a transformative new way, which was unique in diplomatic negotiations. I was also very proud of the Secretary General asking me to take over the initiative called Human Rights Up Front, putting human rights on par with peace and security and development in practice and in theory, but also seeing human rights violations as the first warnings of conflicts to come. I think we need to, historically speaking, also at this stage when there are so many conflicts exploding around the world or countries imploding, we need to really listen to the first signs, the first vibrations in the ground. And human rights violations is such a warning sign.
On the issue of those problems, the flip side to my earlier question is, what in your term as Deputy Secretary General have been some of the biggest, I guess, disappointments for you, the things that have maybe left you feeling a bit down or upset that they weren't achieved?
Well, the absolutely most dominating issue in that category, issues are not solved, is, of course, the Syria tragedy, the Syria horror, the Syria nightmare. Since the first day I arrived, I have worked with this issue, and I have felt huge disappointments several times that we haven't been able to find a solution, find an end to this conflict. In the summer of 2012, we had a chance. The Security Council could have done a resolution, a binding resolution, on the basis of Kofi Annan's negotiation in end of June 2012. We missed that opportunity at a time when there was no ISIS, no Daesh, and at a time when you had a decent opposition, well-formed and well-coordinated. They could have sat down in the transitional arrangement that was planned and start writing a constitution and then have elections. That was 4 years ago. In the meantime, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed. The refugees are in the neighboring countries. Refugees are in Europe, causing political havoc and destabilizing world political conditions.
Now, you've been on the job almost 5 years. Is there anything you've learned in those almost 5 years that you wish you knew 5 years ago?
I knew it 5 years ago. I know it now. It seems so difficult to learn that lesson, namely that we must, in the UN, but also as human beings, understand that we must deal with problem early on. it seems like we don't want to see that problems can turn into disaster, that human rights violations can turn into mass atrocities. We have to have a culture of prevention, because we should pay around $22 billion for all the humanitarian needs in the world today. Unfortunately, we only receive half of that. We also pay $8.5 billion on peacekeeping. In other words, almost $30 billion on dealing with the symptoms, the end result of critical developments, while we spend perhaps a couple of $100 million on the prevention side.
So do you have any message for world leaders and the global public?
Yes, to world leaders, I would say stop dividing humanity into us and them. I'm very worried about this trend of identifying yourself in contrast to others rather than together with others, whether it is your religious belonging or your ethnic group or your tribe in many countries. That trend, which means that you actually undermine the equal worth of all human beings because you easily consider the us superior to the them. And that feeds polarization, that feeds division. And then you are more prone in that situation to be receptive to fear-mongering and even selling hatred. And in today's world, we don't need more hatred. We don't need more fear. We need more hope and realization that we live together. The most important word in today's world is, in fact, together. And that is also the campaign that UN is now leading of making nations accept this need to fight xenophobia. So that is, to me, the most basic message. And that translates itself to how we in the future deal with migration, refugees, how we deal with development, how we deal with dealing with root causes, ending conflicts early and so forth. So that would be my advice. I hope they could listen.